Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Friday, August 30th. We've all felt the surge of fury wash over us at times, but you don't have to let those emotions consume you. Here's biblical help to gain victory over anger.
The most dangerous emotion of them all is anger. Many emotions that we have, but the most dangerous of all is anger. And one of the things about anger is this. It's like a boomerang. You can throw it out there, but it is coming back. Because people who are angry are not just angry at somebody at a distance without paying a price themselves. That's just the very nature of it. And oftentimes a person will say, well, this is the way God made me. No, God didn't make you angry. Or somebody will say, well, you know, I was born with a short fuse. You have to deal with your anger, and excusing it and blaming it on somebody else doesn't work. Anger is a trait you can pass on from one generation to the next. I've seen it. I've heard it in testimonies. I know it is absolutely true. And so therefore, parents say, well, he'll get over that. No, he won't. Because a kid loves his daddy, and his daddy is his hero. And when his hero continually pushes him down and pushes him away in anger, he creates something within that little boy that is devastating to that boy, and the same thing would be true of a little girl. People marry folks who are angry. They don't stop to look deep enough to realize that the person has an angry spirit. So they get married thinking everything's going to be fine. It's not fine. It wasn't fine before they got married. And you know what? If you think you're going to marry somebody to change them, you need to stop and think clearly and honestly. That's not the reason you marry people, is to change them. So if they need some changing, let God fix them, then you marry them. You don't marry them before that. Anger is very destructive, and yet there's a way to overcome it. So I want you to turn, if you will, to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And Paul deals with it here in a beautiful way. And there are some very specific steps a person can deal with to overcome anger in their life, or whatever the cause might be. The scripture says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Look at the awesome contrast in those two verses. And also notice, if you will, the traveling companions with anger. Look at this. Bitterness, wrath, clamor, and slander, and malice. All of these are traveling companions with anger. They all work together, devastating a person mentally, spiritually, and physically. And I want you to see in this passage and in the whole message that our physical being is greatly affected. And probably the one that affects it most of all is anger. And so when you look at this passage and you see the contrast, on the other hand, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you. Now, I want us to look at this passage and I want us to notice here how clear the Bible is about those things that go along with anger, bitterness, clamor, all of these things that go along with it. So I want to give you a definition of anger. I could define it much shorter, but I want to give you a long one because it tells you what anger is all about. Look at this. It is a strong feeling of intense displeasure. Somebody's unhappy. Hostility, indignation, as a result, watch this now, of a real or an imagined threat. It doesn't even have to be real. Insult, frustration, or injustice toward yourself or others important to you. Look at that. A strong, intense feeling of displeasure, hostility, indignation, as a result of a real or maybe an imagined thing that you heard, is something that you heard about yourself, a threat, or is insult, frustration, or injustice toward yourself or others important to you. That's what anger is all about. That's why it is absolutely so disastrous. And when a person says, well, you know, I'm angry, but I'm not hurting anybody but myself. Oh, yes, you are. Now, there is a form of anger that's good. the form of anger that expresses itself against those who are mistreating somebody else. Do you get that? It's anger toward those who are mistreating somebody else. That's legitimate. That's good anger because it needs to be corrected. And so that kind of anger is controlled. That kind of anger has a purpose. And that kind of anger is justifiable. It's never selfish. If you do something to me, hurt my feelings, and I get all uptight and get angry, then that's selfish. You've done something to me. But if you're angry because you see someone else mistreating someone else, then that's a whole different story. And when I think about that, I think about a godly man or woman gets angry at the right time, in the right way, for the right reason. And so all anger is not bad. Some of it's good if it's the right time, the right way, and the right reason. Because there are many times when we need to be angry. Think about, for example, Jesus. He was getting ready to heal this man, and he looked around, and he knew the Pharisees and Sadducees were getting ready to accuse him. And so the scripture says, after looking around at them with anger, Jesus got angry. Looking around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. Now, what was he angry about? He wasn't angry about what they were doing to him. He was angry because of their attitude toward this man. He was getting ready to get healed on the Sabbath, and they couldn't stand it. So he was angry. And then 490 times in the Old Testament, the Bible says that God is angry about something. But God's anger was always righteous indignation. Righteous indignation is anger toward those things that God would be angry about if he were in that situation. You know that's right anger. It's God's anger. It's righteous indignation. And so how do we determine, for example, if our anger is sinful or not? So I'll give you several things to think about. You ask yourself several questions. Number one, is my anger directed toward a person? Is my anger directed toward a person? Secondly, is it without a justifiable cause? Am I angry just because somebody hurt my feelings or said something or did something I didn't like? Is it a justifiable cause? No. Does that anger seek to do harm to another person or persons or institution? Is that the kind of anger I have? And then, of course, if it's the wrong kind of anger, I'm going to hold tightly, not giving it up, no matter what. And so, also, you have to ask, is my anger the kind that has developed an unforgiving spirit? All of those are bad. In other words, an unforgiving spirit says, I have anger that I'm holding to tightly, and you're not going to get it away from me because somehow some people in a very negative, distorted kind of way enjoy their anger because somehow in their twisted thinking, they take great delight in causing other people heartache and difficulty in life. So how do people usually handle their anger? Well, there are several ways. One way is to repress it, which is simply to say this, no, I'm not angry. And isn't it interesting? And I've seen people do this, and I've talked to them once in a while, and I'll say, are you angry about something? No, I'm not. I say, well, and I could say, yes, you are, but they'd probably say again, no, I'm not. I'd say, well, good, let's talk about it. If you're not angry, it must be something else. Of course, we always get back to anger. And so one way to deal with it is to repress it and say, no, I'm not angry. You know why they say that? Because they're unconscious of it. There are people living bound up in anger who do not even realize that's the problem. And they're quick to point out to you somebody else who's angry. Or you may be angry, but they say, I'm not angry. What am I angry about? But if you keep that conversation going, before long it'll be very evident that they're very angry. So they repress it. Then some people suppress it. They acknowledge that it's there, but here's what they do. They say, it's my business. It's none of your business. If I want to be angry, that's my business. And the truth is, they may admit it, but they determine in their heart, they're not going to change. You're not going to make them change. And so they say, no, you know what? No problem. And what they don't realize is this. When a person is angry and they will not acknowledge it, it just internalizes it. And here's what happens. That anger just sort of sets in there. And it's like a big 50-gallon drum of poison with a hole, a little hole in the bottom of it. And it's just leaking out day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And their entire emotional and physical system is being destroyed little by little by anger. But that's what anger does. And if a person is not willing to admit it, listen, denial does not cause it to go away. And even if you admit it and don't deal with it, and so how do you express it? Well, you express it in several ways. And one way that many people express their anger, they just explode. Well, and they just have this fit. And then they quieten down and they act like everything's fine because they've got it out of their system. The other person is like a boiling pot. And I think in terms of like a crock pot. You know, you put all the food and then the water and so forth, and then you just turn it on and just let it simmer. And it boils and it simmers and on it goes. And you know what? Everything gets cooked. And in human life, a person with a crock pot anger, they may keep it subdued, but you know what it's doing? It's cooking them. Their whole emotional being is being tainted and ultimately destroyed. Before long, we'll talk about the consequences. They can't love anybody. They can't get along with anybody. They can't tell you why, because they won't deal with anger. And they may be able to trace their anger all the way back to their father, mother, and say, well, I'm the way I am because of thus and so. Listen, all of us could go back and find something that somebody taught us or we saw that didn't help us any. The truth is, we're responsible for discovering what's there that's causing us to act the way we act. You can't shove responsibility for actions on somebody else. It doesn't make any difference who they are and what they did. Well, they did thus and so. Okay, so they did, so what do we do about it? Now, when a person is like that, it's more than likely they're going to be a little bit more evident in their feelings and thinking when they say, well, you know, sometimes I am angry. Well, here's the question. Are you angry at this? Or are you just angry? All of us at times get angry at this or that, whatever, for a moment. But are we just angry people? And I would say to you, if you're an angry person, you're dangerous. You're dangerous to the people around you who try to love you, who want the best for you. But when I say dangerous, I mean you're dangerous to yourself above everything else, of what's going to happen to you. So let's just think about what are the consequences of being angry. Well, first of all, your relationship to God's not right. You cannot be angry toward others and be right with God. When he says, put it off, lay it down, lay it aside. Can't be right with God and angry at someone else. Even though you could give me 25 reasons for being angry, the truth is, there are 25 reasons why you ought to deal with it. So what happens? Your relationship to God's not right. When you're angry with another person, your relationship with them is not going to be right. Especially is that true in a marriage. When one person is angry, or both of them are angry, things are not going to be right. Because anger, when it's bad anger, it's all about me. Because you see, anger says, I want control. And I will control by throwing a fit or by doing something else that is ungodly. And so there's a critical spirit that develops in a person who is angry. And when the Bible says, don't even associate with an angry person, because an angry person is a foolish person. He says, anger resides in the bosom of a fool. That's strong language for God to say about a person who's angry. Why? Because God wants us to see how devastating it is in a person's life. There is no peace. There is a sense of isolation because people really don't want to be around them. There's a sense of frustration. A sense of emptiness in a person who is angry because something's missing. And the reason is love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, all those things are absent. When they think about the future, they're not excited about the future. They're mad about something going on in the present. And in their minds, they have legitimate reasons for being angry because they don't have this and they don't have that. And so we live in a hostile environment. And so a believer can shine brighter today than ever before because there's so many people around us who are angry. And so a person who's angry, they can't focus very well. They're procrastinators oftentimes because they can't. But what I want you to see about anger is this. There is an immediate response to anger, but there is an ongoing response to anger in a person's body. You cannot live with anger and be a healthy person. You cannot. And many people, for example, who are depressed, they're angry about something that happened in the past. They can't get over it. They hold to it. They nourish it. They nurse it. It's part of them, but it's also a destructive part of them. And so when you think of physically, think about it, for example. A person who is very, very angry and who lives with that anger is subject to a heart attack. It would be interesting, and the medical profession could tell you probably some statistics, how many people have heart attacks in a fit of anger or at the end of an angry period. Their blood pressure is going up. I wonder how many people are on blood pressure medicine because of something that's going on in their life. And what happens? Everything in your body gets tense. When your body is tense and your vessels are tense, in other words, you can't function. The physical body was not made to function in tight stress and anger and hostility and bitterness and all the rest. There's no way. So they have strokes. I'm not saying that everybody who has a heart attack or has a stroke is full of anger. But one thing I know for sure, that these things are caused. One of the primary reasons is that they're caused as a result of anger. And you see, we like to separate. Well, I'm angry and I've got reasons to be angry. We like to separate that from our physical body. You cannot. You cannot separate anger from its effect on the physical body. And I want you to know, have you heard me say any good thing anger does for the body? You know why? Because there's no good thing. That righteous indignation can cause us to do something, but that's not the kind of anger we're talking about. We're talking about bad anger. We're talking about the kind of anger that spills over a period of time, the kind that explodes in a moment, the kind that makes a person, you don't even want to be around them. There are consequences, and those consequences are devastating. And so there are many more results in a person's body. But just to give you an idea, to simply say this, you don't want it, you can't afford it. If you intend to have a healthy life and a happy life, the thing you've got to get rid of, you've got to get rid of all the anger in your life because it's destructive. Listen, you say, I'm going to sleep it off. No, you're not sleeping it off. You're sleeping with it. You don't get rid of it by sleeping it off or drugs or alcohol or sex or pleasure of any kind. Does not get rid of anger. It's something we have to deal with and deal with in a very specific way. So the consequences are devastating. Because if I'm angry, I'm going to hurt somebody else. You can't keep it to yourself. There's no such thing as hiding anger very long. You may hide it for a short period of time, but it's there. Every child can detect anger in their parent. You can't hide it from a child. You may hide it from somebody else for a short period of time, but eventually it's coming out. And so the issue is, it's a devastating, ungodly attitude about which God says it makes a man or a woman a fool. Anger abides in the bosom of a fool. Therefore, it is ungodly, it is unchristlike, it is unproductive, and it's unhealthy, and it's costly, and it can destroy you. Now tell me one good thing why you should allow yourself to be angry. Cannot.
Thank you for listening to Victory Over Anger. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or InTouch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of InTouch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.